Good morning and welcome to Morning Worship on this first Sunday after Trinity. I just refer to it as Trinity 1. Seems easier. I was just beginning to relax late last Saturday evening when it was announced, somewhat previously, on the news that places of worship would be open for, as it turned out, supervised private prayer from Monday the 15th of June. Later, not surprisingly, this was modified so as to be optional. The Muslims, I believe, and many churches have decided not to open yet at all, either because they consider it too soon, or because places of worship closed for several weeks need a jolly good clean and a lot of sorting out before they are ready for the doors to be open. Here we have to consider that the majority of those in our church congregations are in the vulnerable group, and that perhaps this is too soon to encourage folk to be in church, albeit at 2 metres. And that some of that group might feel obligated to go. Others, of course, might have found a desire to be somewhere removed from their home where there is some quiet and they might have an opportunity to think and pray. So please, whenever we do open the churches, do not feel obliged to go. I never thought I'd say that. And certainly don't go if you feel less than 100% or have any symptoms. It's not just about battling through or thinking, well, I'm okay. It's about how we might inadvertently affect the health of others. Any which way, I have taken last week's message as a signal to get ready for the possibility of returning to some sort of sense of gathered church sooner rather than later, even though a second spike seems all the more likely after a recent flouting of the restrictions. Numbers creep up all around us. St Mary's is unlikely to be ready for some time. There is a lot of cleaning to be done, not just because of the closure, but also because of settlement after the re-roofing. There is also a lot to be cleared out to avoid handling and re-handling of stuff. Best to look at it as a good opportunity for a fresh start, I think. Some of the work has already been undertaken. Thorough cleaning comes next. Perhaps you could help. St Faith has been cleaned, signage deployed, cushions and other soft furnishings put out of the way, and areas taped off, so she is ready to be opened. However, at present we will not be opening all day as before, but for hours when someone can be available to do the supervising. So from Monday the 15th, the church at Kilsby will be open during the morning and during the evening for an hour or so for a number of people, 4 individuals or 2 individuals and 2 households. Details will follow. The next logical step would seem to be for there to be a said service to be engaged with among those gathered, surely. The start of getting back to something more normal. If that permission is given this week, maybe, I don't know, then maybe a said service could be held for a limited number next Sunday. Wow, that would be quite something. And that would open up other possibilities with the pop-up pocket congregations idea. To be able to do something would be a great relief to many. For as we see in wider society, many people are boiling over. An injustice has been seized upon and civil unrest is now upon us. That's something for our prayers, really. Our readings today take us back to the story of Abraham, the person of faith who left his homeland to follow God's call, to Jesus' calling and sending out apostles to continue sharing the message of faith, and to Paul's letter to the church in Rome that we'll be sticking with for a while, where he shares in his enthusiasm for sharing the message of faith. Let us now, as people of faith, still ourselves for worship. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind.
As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Pray together the collect for this Sunday. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 116, verse 1 and verses 10 to 17. And the refrain is, gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
I love the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my supplication.
Because he has inclined his ear to me on the day I called to him.
How shall I repay the Lord?
For all the benefits he has given to me.
I will lift up the cup of salvation.
And call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfil my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
Is in the death of his faithful servants.
O Lord, I am your servant.
Your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
And call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfil my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord.
In the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Alleluia.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may we call upon your name, raise the cup of salvation, and so proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come in glory. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
These readings are taken from Genesis chapter 18 and 21. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favour in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of flour, and knead it, and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd, and selected a choice tender calf, and gave it to her servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk, and the calf that had been prepared, and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them, under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out, and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Chapter 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age."
A letter from the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
We now come to a time of confession, so let us still ourselves.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
The God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing together the hymn, Lord, thy word abideth. The Gospel is written in Matthew chapter 9 and chapter 10.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the labourer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, to be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak, or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.